Hey, Clipper Nation, how's it going? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm positive Chuck Mockler. I'm agitated Chuck Mockler today.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We'll get into that in just a bit. Charles is very irritated at the reporting of this.
Oh, everybody's Lakers, irritated.
Of Doc possibly going to the Lakers. That's not possible. It's not happening.
It's not
going to
happen.
Anyways, we still got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Twitter Tuesday. Every Tuesday, we're going live on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips to take your questions and stream a little bit. Get to rabble rouse it up.
Yeah, you know.
So yeah, stay tuned for that. We're gonna kick things off with a preview of the game against the Pacers, and then, as I said, we'll be taking questions live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever unable to watch the stream, please send us your questions, your comments, your takes to at Locked On Clips if you're on Twitter. And if you're not, I guess send us an email.
Shavings.podcast@gmail.com or hit at Will Updike up on Twitter or at Charles Mockler. We got phones.
This
We're
is a
there.
Situation where they don't have Twitter.
Twitter? Yeah, I guess email us.
Before we get into all of that, I just want to say, guys, we're doing another live event at Tom's Urban, which is at the Staples Center at LA Live.
April 7th, I believe.
Yeah, April 7th. It is the away game against the Warriors. It's on a Sunday. It's going to be a fun time.
Come through.
Tom's Urban is awesome. They've got a great happy hour.
We are there literally after every game that we do press.
Yeah. You got to unwind a little bit.
Half off everything that pours. All right, should we get into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, right off the top, actually, I want to give a shout out. If you're listening right now, there was this wonderful couple who we met in the press conference with Doc on the game on Sunday. They gave me their email to send them podcasts because they are not on Twitter. Something happened with the podcast or with the email exchange. I may have taken it down wrong. I tried to send you guys the episode from yesterday. It did not send through. If you are listening to this, please email shavings.podcast@gmail.com. I will send you the episodes every day. Just giving a shout out. Hope they hear this. Thank you so much for listening.
Hope we can find you guys. We met you in the press room.
You were so nice. You recognized me because I have
It's
a
not
cough.
A misconnection. It's a made connection.
Yeah.
But we're now torn apart.
Anyway. We're playing the Pacers. They're on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yes.
They played horribly last night.
Really, really rough game for them. Only managed 98 points.
I was actually checked into this game. I was at Wingstop, you know, getting that classic 60-cent boneless wing deal. And they were up by like 12 at one point.
Yeah.
And then they just went on this horrific cold streak where they couldn't make anything. Lillard seemed like he was playing out of his mind. I don't know. I'm glad they're tired.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one thing for sure. So the last time we played the Pacers was actually right after the after the Tobias trade.
Yeah, it was the day of the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So very different team.
So I think we both kind of thought we were kind of like a soft tank.
Yeah.
At that point, the starting lineup for that game, there was no Landry, there was no Zoo. The starting lineup for that game was Shea and Bev. That seems totally normal. Sindarius, Gallo, and Trez.
Yeah.
Goofy lineup. You know what I mean?
Very goofy lineup.
It was the bat game. That's so funny. We lost 116-92. Not a whole bunch to kind of like take away from that game.
No. The team has changed so much since then. At the time of this loss, the Pacers were still on this tear, even without Oladipo. They had a +4 net rating, which was like good for 6th in the league.
Damn.
Which is pretty solid. And ours at that time was 0.9,
nice.
which was still above the 50% mark. We were 13th in the league at that point. But in the last 10 games, they've been having a much harder stretch. They're posting a -3.7 net rating.
Damn.
We're
at 6.1.
Yeah, and we have a really great net rating over the past 10 games. 6.1, which is 6th in the league.
Damn, I'll take that.
And the amount of points that separates that point rating,
yeah,
number 2 is only like a 1.6 above us or something.
Oh,
so, yeah, we're really close there. We've been doing a good job of you know, non-Nets are, bro.
They're talking about who the Clippers of the East is on the live stream.
Someone said the
Nets, someone said the Pacers.
Doc thinks it's the Nets. Anyways, back to the Pacers. over the last 10 game stretch, we've been averaging 119 points a game, and to the Pacers, 103.6, which is actually 29th in the league. So they have not been scoring the ball efficiently.
Yeah, injuries, obviously. Unfortunately, Oladipo is out for the Pacers. We hope he's doing well in his recovery. And for the Clippers, believe it or not, Luka Mbiamute is out with a What? A sore right knee. Just kidding. It's still a sore left knee. How terrible would it be if both knees were that sore?
Man, I can't even imagine that level of soreness.
So let's get into what we need to do to win. Mine is kind of a bigger theme. We need to frustrate their defensive rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. They've obviously kind of made their bones on being a pretty strong defensive team.
They are good.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
They only commit around 19 fouls a game, which is good for top five in the league. And they have the third best defensive rating in the league as well.
Yeah.
So,
but once again, these numbers have slipped a little bit.
Definitely.
Recently.
Yes.
So
if Gallo and Lou can kind of do their draw contact and frustrate them thing, that's going to be great for us. Just something to get in their heads about being too physical.
For sure.
Or something like, just so they're kind of second guessing their rotations or how physical they're being with certain players, especially our good free throw shooters.
And I think something that's going to distract from that physicality is going to be Lou Williams getting them into
this
fouls.
Guy.
per isolation play, we're averaging something like 13% of our isolation possessions end with a shooting foul.
Damn. That seems high as hell.
Which
right?
is good for it's like in the top five in the league
yeah,
for sure.
That's what's up.
So I think that if we are able to draw fouls and get to the line early, mm-hmm. it's really gonna discourage some of their like tough nosed kind of physical defensive play that they're known for.
What else do you have for what we gotta do to win?
We gotta shoot the three well. The Pacers put up around the same amount of threes per game as we do.
Yeah.
With a similar percentage. So it's an interesting situation. In the last 10 games, we've been shooting a lot better. We're averaging about 12 makes per game.
That's what's up.
Which is pretty solid to their about 9, which is 25th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I think that if we can stretch the floor in this game, it's going to agitate that defense even more. They only successfully defend about 35% of three-point attempts. So I think if you combine
that's like the middle,
that,
right? Pretty much right in the middle of the league.
Dead center in the middle of the league. So if we can get shots to fall early, I think that their defense is going to get a little rattled.
Absolutely. Someone, people on the live stream, first of all, welcome to the Pacers fans. Thank you for tuning in. You've seemed very cordial so far. We appreciate it. Hitting the boards.
Definitely.
The Pacers are a surprising 24th in total rebounds.
Which was shocking to me.
That doesn't. I thought they'd have.
I guess just with Miles Turner and their physical play.
Something. But so with Zoo and Trez, our center, we should be able to have the advantage on the boards tonight. I'm not going to say we're going to like feast or destroy them or anything like that. But we should be able to maybe, I don't know, plus 5 or 10 on the boards to their total, I would say.
I would think so. Hopefully Zoo's hands are a little bit better. And he's able to.
Broken finger.
He's able to box
ligaments.
Out. Yeah, he's able to like box out and really fight for those boards. Just going off of the rebounding.
Kick flipping off of that.
We're gonna need strong like paint play in general. We defend the paint like marginally better than them, about 3%.
Which is not good.
Like just very, very marginally. But I really expect, like, on paper, you know, pretty similar. I think Trez is going to slap whoever is defending it. Like, he's just been going off recently, and I think he's going to be pretty – I think he's going to have a great game.
Someone commented on the stream they would prefer Lou not have to be clutch tonight. Couldn't agree with you more. However, we do not play until Friday, which is nice. So if we have to go all out, we have to go all out.
Somebody said with Thad Young and Sabonis coming off the bench, the rebounding should be pretty solid. Like I would think it would be. I was shocked at the stat that they were 24th in the league.
And we're Sabonis heads over here. I'm part Lithuanian. I love the Sabonis.
Big Sabonis guy.
So what could go wrong? This is where, they are 25th in pace.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned, they have a top three defensive rating. That all kind of lends itself to a very slow paced game.
So I would say that is like their, I mean, that's another kind of Pacers. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel
Pacers
like that's
fans,
a part of the Pacers game is just really controlling tempo.
And it works. So I'm thinking they could kind of muck the pace up and get us into that weird, frenetic, what do we do now, bad half-court offense that we have.
Yeah.
It killed us against the first half of the Bulls and for parts of the game against the Nets. It's just something that we are pretty easily susceptible to against teams that do this style well.
Speaking of energy, people on the comments are saying both more Motley and more Delgado. Both these guys played over 13 minutes the last time we played this team.
Yeah.
And they were both pretty effective.
I'm saying more Justin Bibbs. That guy looked happy as hell to be at the game.
More Bibbs. I think something that could be difficult in playing this Pacers team is they don't have a single de facto guy. Like, they have a lot of guys who can go off. Obviously, Bojan Bogdanovic,
like
Miles Turner. I don't know, man.
It could come out of nowhere is what you're saying.
It can come out of nowhere, and I just think that we could easily leave somebody missed,
They
could have themselves a night.
Could be Sabonis.
Could be really difficult. Someone is saying Nate McMillan or Doc for Coach of the Year. They're both Dark Horse candidates.
Dude, that seems like a toss-up, honestly.
It is really hard.
My homerism says Doc, obviously, but if I was a neutral, it would be a coin flip, I think.
If I was a neutral, I might go Nate just because...
Oladipo's so huge.
I feel like they don't necessarily have like the top tier talent that we do. Not that they don't have some very great guys.
Yeah, after Oladipo is what he's saying too. Oladipo is fantastic. Yeah. One more thing that could go wrong for us: we go cold from three.
Yeah.
Offensively, shooting wise, we're a spookily similar team to the Pacers.
Yeah.
Like we're very close to learning pretty much every metric. We have to absolutely play above average to win this game. I know that sounds dumb, but the Pacers are not a team that we can sleep on.
Definitely.
Like, the Pacers are a very well-coached team. They hustle. They will catch us lacking, and I don't want a bathroom break to happen in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I don't want the thing that happens in the first half where we take, like, six threes, and then we're like, oh, how come we're losing?
Another thing that could go wrong is I just think they have some great three-point shooters coming off the bench.
Yep.
And that's one of those things that I don't know how strong we can be defending out on the perimeter. So it kind of makes me curious how Doc might play with the lineups.
Maybe some
just
Sind and Ty out there together.
Yeah, I have some more on that in the matchups.
Let's get into it, bro.
So let's just get into
it. Match it up.
So this one is our classic existential matchup, which is Ty Wall and Sindarius versus minutes.
I like that.
In the last game, Ty Wall played 24 minutes. He shut down both Aaron Holiday and Edmund Sumner, and he finished with the best plus-minus of the team. He didn't score a lot, but defensively, he was very, very solid. And Sindarius also guarded Bojan Bogdanovic very well. Bojan was the highest scorer of the game last time.
Bojan's sick.
But Sindarius was by far the most effective defender on him. I don't know if we'll see how big minutes we'll see Sindarius tonight.
Someone just asked if we are going to the game tonight. Unfortunately, we are not. I don't know why we didn't request credentials for this one. That was on me. I will be eating pizza and watching the game at my house. Big one for me is Gallo versus Thad Young.
Okay, yeah.
So Young guarded him for a whopping 69% of the offensive possessions in the February game.
Chills.
Okay. And held him to 3 of 7 from the field. However, all three of his shots were from deep. So he went 3 of 4 from deep, but 3 for 7 from the field.
Dang.
Yeah. Gallo has been absolutely red hot from deep lately, except for the Brooklyn game. So if this seemingly bad perimeter defense from Thad Young can get exposed... It might be, I mean, it's going to behoove Gallo.
For sure.
And then,
do you see with this matchup that Gallo could have himself a really hot start, like maybe a double-digit first quarter?
Yeah, I hope they get some sets run for him early so we can just kind of see the ball go in the hoop. Defensively for Gallo, this might be hard. He had Young for 22% of the possessions, and Young shot 3 of 3.
And Young is another one of those. Like, when I talk about I don't know who the de facto guy is on this Pacers team,
yeah.
Young, another guy Young? That could go off.
Yeah. What else we got?
So, I'm liking this matchup of Harrell versus Miles Turner. Turner is really touted for his defense, but through 47 possessions last game, Harrell went 6 of 9. And I think the way that he's playing lately, especially the intensity that he's bringing, and how much better he's been, you know, knock on wood, but free throw shooting lately.
Yeah.
I think that Harrell is really poised to have a big game tonight.
Could see a career high. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I want to go that far, but I would love that.
Lou versus Corey Joseph is a big one, too. Lou got held to just 10 points in the last time we played. Mm-hmm. With a majority of his possessions being guarded by Joseph, he shot 2 of 6 in 68 possessions against Joseph.
Oh, wow.
Joseph plays some good defense.
Yeah.
Obviously. If you're shutting Lou down, you're a good defender. I don't care. With the new bench additions, maybe, and like a full roster, we can maybe kind of space this out and get better ball movement and involvement from Lou. I'm hoping
for
to
sure.
see.
You think just in terms of having like your JaMychal Greens and some other spacing
other people who
on
can
the
space
floor,
the floor.
Definitely.
Yeah, if JaMychal Green can hit an early three, or if you know Wilson Chandler can hit one, that'll go so far for Lou being able to make a difference on this
I think
game.
We might see more Lou minutes in a lineup with Lou, Beverly, Shamet, and essentially the starters, but with Lou
Switch.
In the Shea spot.
Okay, I'm not mad at that. I'm gonna steal your note here. Lou has to get to the line effectively.
Yeah.
That just has to happen.
It has to happen. If shots aren't falling, it's going to be so crucial. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Obviously, he draws so many fouls on isolation plays. I don't know. Hopefully we see some actual effective Lou and Gallo pick and roll.
Yeah. What is your prediction for this game?
My prediction for this game, I think that this is going to be another low scoring game.
Damn.
I think it's going to be 102-108 Clippers.
102-108 Clippers. All right.
I really think it's going to be a close one.
All right. I'm saying I'm going to go 115-113 Clippers. Another nail biter.
Wow, really?
It'll be another damn nail biter.
Do you think that we'll get a lead early and we'll see that whittled away?
100%.
Okay.
That's all I was thinking of having. People are asking us about the Doc to Lakers rumors. We're going to address that
coming up
after this break. But first, we mentioned Tom Zurbin at the beginning of the show. If you're in LA, you're at Staples Center. If you're going to the game tonight, if you're ever going to it, hit up Tom Zurbin. 70 big screen TVs. Tons of drink specials. They have a You Pour floor where you can like pour your own beers, which is pretty tight.
It's pretty chill.
50 taps from the best brews from local breweries and imports. We've done the watch party there. It was great. I ate way too many nachos. It was fantastic. Check it out. That is Tom Zurbin at LA Live. So, bunch of people have been talking about this Doc.
A lot of chatter about Doc to the Lakers.
So here's the background of it. A terrible reporter wrote...
Wow, you're just flaming people.
This is awful reporting. I have no respect for this kind... The quote that I'm about to read is a real quote that someone is paid a fair amount of money per year to write. According to a confidant, red flag one, he has almost always wanted to leash the Lakers, wrote Vesey. In conversations over the years with this confidant, apparently, Doc frequently expressed an ardent ambition to coach either team or the Knicks before retiring, if for no other motivation than their worldwide brands. You are not a reporter. That is terrible reporting.
I liked M. Chonger's comment. He said the reporter straight up weirdo.
Straight up
caps.
Weirdo. First of all, a confidant? No, man. This is rumors. This is things that you want to happen that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Secondly... The brand chasing makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
He coached the Celtics.
Yeah.
Who are...
What, the second or third largest franchise in the NBA?
In terms of branding, I would have to
and
say...
And got a chip!
Like, and now he's on the Clippers, who in terms of brand are on the rise. We're getting a brand new arena that's only our own. We're going to have the only arena named after the team in the league. We have a fantastic organization. It makes no sense. I hate that ESPN is running with this story.
Definitely.
I hate that I saw a clip.
I mean, it's new. Like, it's new. I get it. Like, it's clickbaity news. I understand it, but, like, there's just
it's
no...
so frustrating.
None of these sources or anything hold water. We were at the game the other day where Doc got his 300th win with the Clippers.
Yes.
And he said, oh, yeah, that's great.
Doesn't matter.
There's one win that matters to me, and it comes after three wins in a series.
Because I only won four games in one certain series to get it. It's not going to happen. The thing that pisses me off, especially, is it's being reported as they have mutual interest.
Yeah.
So it's being spun as Doc doesn't want to.
That's absurd.
I feel so bad for whatever reporter asked Doc about this at the press conference tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're going to get burned.
You're getting burned. You're getting stared at. It's absolutely insane.
Honestly, someone's saying it comes off as big desperation for the Lakers.
It's spin.
I could not agree more.
It's absolutely insane. Check out Logan Rapp's piece on Clipperholics about this. The Lakers are absolutely jealous of us. Shout out to Clipperholics. So let's say the frustrating thing with this is that the terms for Doc's contract were not disclosed when he signed the extension.
That is true. Yeah.
You like can't find it anywhere.
But this would be the last year of his previous contract.
So we got to assume he has this is an assumption absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you assume. Let's assume he has two more years after this one.
Okay.
Right?
I think it's closer to three or four.
Someone asked on Twitter if there was any option involved. And so I'm saying two after the season because I don't know if it's a coach or a team option.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? So let's say, can one of us ask the question?
I'm not asking Doc
absolutely
if he's going
not
to the Lakers.
I already
no
asked
way.
Doc if he was going to do anything special if he got kicked out of the game on Sunday. And he almost did get kicked out of the game. So let's say the Lakers do offer Doc a contract. What do you think...
He's already obligated, though.
No, I mean after when it's up.
Yeah.
What do you think...
Here's a... Here, I hate to interrupt.
You are, but go ahead.
This is just spinning in my mind. What would the Lakers have to trade to us for us to trade them, Doc?
LeBron James.
All right, fair.
If you're me, it's LeBron James.
All right.
No. So I think also Ballmer is a lunatic. He is a great lunatic.
Yeah. We talked about this before in the best of ways.
I think he offers Doc like $65 million for 4 years.
You think that's his current contract? After this extension is over.
I think he offers him 4 for $65 million.
I mean, he'll be like...
What was it, 17 and a half a year? Like, make him the highest paid coach.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in the league for so long. I think he's got the second most amount of wins of any active coach in the league.
He's behind some guy named Greg Popovich.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Don't know who that guy is. I don't know. It's just insane. It's absolutely frustrating. I do think it's funny that the Knicks were also mentioned in this confidant quote. They could not give a shit. Like, no one from the Knicks is like, he's going to come to us.
No way.
Because somehow the Knicks fan base is a more rational fan base than the Lakers now.
Yeah.
They have, like, switched sides. I don't know. Should we save actual questions for the next segment?
Yes.
All right. Coming up, that was our mini, I guess mostly my mini rant on that. Coming up after this, we're going to be taking some actual Twitter questions.
But before that, did you guys know that you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year?
What?
I mean, it's right, dude. The leader in daily fantasy sports has a totally free bracket.
I'm broke. I need that.
Yeah. It's got tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. I need the money. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney. Why don't you just do it with an award-winning app with tons of free prizes?
Who cares?
So, for the first time ever, there's a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes, which seems insane to me. Charles wants to make sure you put the University of Montana Grizzlies in there. They could be busting brackets.
We're coming for you, Michigan. Number 15 seed. We're coming for you.
So you know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it.
And
the best
easy.
Part is you can play for free with code DRIBBLE. That's DRIBBLE. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging
Maybe
rights.
We'll start one.
Win some money. So download the DraftKings app or head over to DraftKings.com now. Use code DRIBBLE, that's DRIBBLE, to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and commit and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket for free. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game.
Man, do you think the live stream audience respects the live read?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm sorry,
guys.
That's
fair. So we have to do that.
We got to keep the lights on here somehow.
So as of now, this kind of goes out to the people watching on the live stream too. Who do you think is the Clippers MVP right now? Not necessarily the best player, but the MVP.
Clippers MVP is...
It's a tough question. For me, it's currently Lou.
MVP of the team is Lou.
As of today, I think it's Lou Williams.
MVP of the team is definitely Lou. I think single best player on the team is hands down Gallo.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Bold. Yeah, I think it's Lou. I mean, he literally is winning. He's triple double to beat the Bulls.
Yeah.
Buzzer beater to beat the Nets. It's just incredible.
Oh, man. Someone's saying Pat Bev, though, too. Like,
that's a good take.
That's a very strong argument.
I can't. I mean,
Trez is definitely up there, too. The only thing that makes him not the MVP to me is like some matchups are really unfavorable for him.
Yeah. I would say Bev and Trez are the.
They're the soul
the
of the
soul
team.
The soul MVPs.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I do think maybe Gallo is the best player on the team right now.
I don't think it's debatable. I think that the well-rounded single best player on the Clippers is Gallo. However, I would still put the MVP to Lou Williams.
For sure.
I think he's the guy. Obviously, he's the guy that you want to go to in clutch situations. He's the guy who, no matter what, can pretty much score.
It's been great, too, to see Gallo. You know, we theoretically traded our best player in Tobias Harris. No disrespect to Tobias Harris. It's been great to see Gallo step into this role where he has more responsibility.
Absolutely.
His health hasn't faltered, which has been great. He still looks like he's hustling on defense, which I was a little worried about to kind of going towards the end of the season, if that intensity was going to kind of taper off just from being tired. But it hasn't.
No.
He's still bringing it every night defensively, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, Lou is definitely the MVP.
Yeah. Here's a question. Are the Spurs ever going to lose again? When the hell is that going to happen? So the Thunder seem like it's going to be the team we're going to swap between 8th and 7th with.
The Thunder.
The Thunder. They have the 4th hardest schedule remaining.
Okay.
We have the 19th. Portland has the 20th. Spurs have the 27th and they just beat the Warriors.
Yeah, they got a pretty easy schedule coming up.
So it seems like we're probably going to be swapping spots with the Thunder to play the Nuggets in the first round.
Yeah.
Most likely. How do you like our chances against the Nuggets?
In a 7-game series, here's the thing. They don't have the experience that I feel like our vets have.
Mm.
I think that we are... I don't know. I think that we are a tough team to beat, especially for a team like that.
Someone's saying, take them to 7. I would love to take them to 7.
Someone's saying, what if Clippers stay in the 8th, but the Nuggets move to the number 1 spot? I mean, they're tied with the Warriors right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think that the Nuggets, and you know, you can definitely call me out on this one if I'm wrong. I think the Nuggets might end up being one of the bigger disappointments in the playoffs after like an incredible regular season.
That's fair. You've stuck to your guns with that all year, which I do respect. Matt Chong just brought up a very good point. He never wants to go to Denver and play in the altitude.
Yeah, and their home record is really solid.
The altitude kind of affected Shea, which was tough.
The Nuggets are 30-6 at home.
They're 30-6
at home.
God damn, that's terrible. We have no answer for the Joker. That's kind of true. Unless he gets thrown out of the game, which we got the win when he got thrown out of the game, so that was nice.
But I don't know. I mean, call me crazy. I think we could push this to maybe to 7 games. I think we could possibly win every game at Staples Center.
Yeah, that's another thing.
They're just .500 on the road, which isn't terrible, but
yeah. Clips second best road record. Absolutely. It's just tough to play in freaking Denver, man.
Yeah.
Man, if you guys
are saying Clippers second best road record, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's LA Clipcast. Shout out to them. Offensively, he's a beast, but defensively, you can work him. That's absolutely true. But
are you talking about Jokic?
Yeah. He just, I don't know, he seems to have our number. Any skilled big kind of does. How much would you want to re-sign Beverly for?
Oh, this is a good... do you think that he commands more than the vet min?
I think if you're Steve Ballmer, it's wise to give him more than the vet min. I think it's wise to give him kind of that, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Type. Like I kind of want to see your organization turn into the Heat in that sense.
Yeah, I think this could be one of those deals. Chong are saying for the mid-level exemption. That's kind of what I think where he's at. I think it could be one of those deals where maybe we give him less money on the books, but there's a
consultant job.
There's maybe a job for him or a future for him with this organization post his player tenure.
One last question. That was a really good question. Someone asked, what about Lou when his contract is up?
That's so hard.
Man.
It's so far away. He was on such a team-friendly contract.
He's on, what, 8 a year right now?
Yeah. So I think
give him the same.
I'm fine with either giving him the same or a slight. I mean, that will be a slight overpay, to
yeah,
be quite
at that
honest.
Time, absolutely.
It'll be an overpay for where he is, just in terms of age. Mm-hmm. But I am willing to pay whatever it takes to have Lou Will retire a Clipper.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't care.
He does have a couple years left on that.
Somebody asked if we think the Blazers are going to slip with the loss of CJ. Let me check out.
Maybe?
I forgot what their schedule is.
They have the 20th easy schedule in terms of strength of schedule.
I don't think they're going to slip. They play the Mavericks, Pistons, Nets, Bulls, Hawks, and then CJ will most likely be back unless he's reevaluated and they want to give him some more time off. I would say in any other circumstance, if they had a regular schedule, not one of the easier schedules, they would definitely see a drop. But, against those teams, I only see... I mean, the Nets could give them a tough game and maybe the Pistons, but I don't know.
Yeah. Guys, that about wraps it up for us on the recording. We're going to hang on the live stream for a few minutes after this. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Pacers. Again, no game until Friday. So the next 2 days are going to be kind of us hanging out, talking on the front porch. We'll have a What Could Have Been Wednesday for you, some Clippers pontificating. Again, if you're listening, we appreciate it. Please review us on iTunes, subscribe. That'd be fantastic. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening to the pod.